The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm realizing that last night, probably after all the State of the Onion fun, I probably turned in around 11:15, 11:30. And my body is telling me today that I should have turned in at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Oh, no.
That's what my body is telling me right now. It's one of those situations. And by the way, the tea that I enjoyed earlier this morning, you know, I'm wondering whether there really is a caffeine factor.
Well, what you know? Variety I mean, did you use?
Let me ask you guys this. You're caffeiners, both of you. Uh-huh. Let me ask you this. As far as a beverage, since I don't drink coffee, as far as a beverage where you consume a beverage, now take drugs out of this. The drugs are not relevant. But a beverage that you drink, are there any beverages that you are aware of where as soon as you consume it, you feel a surge of energy race through your body?
Oh, you power up?
Yeah, you've done the 5-hour energy that you used to destroy your liver.
Destroyed my stomach.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think
your stomach, not your liver.
I don't think that there's any particular single beverage that would do it because it all has to do with absorption.
I think it also matters your body mass index has a lot to do with like what you drink and how
well,
it affects
you. Well, then screw me. So, I'm out in that case.
So no,
that,
you don't take Excedrin.
So that ratio, and I'll give you an example here. Rob Ford, roughly like 40, 50 pounds heavier than I am, right? I'm 194. Yes. So
you're saying he weighs 240?
He probably does, right? No?
Maybe I'd take the over on that.
Over?
I'd take the over on that one, too.
What do you think he weighs?
I'd say he's probably 280.
280? No way!
I think so. What do you think, Mike?
I think he's, he weighs 1,000 pounds.
Okay. Well, you know, just some different numbers there. All right, I'll keep that in mind. Well,
That can't be right.
I'll drink the same weight
as I was in high school.
An 8-ounce Red Bull, a little guy.
Okay.
As soon as I drink it, within five minutes of me drinking that drink, I'm like, whoa, I'm up. He has to drink the Silo 16-ounce for that to happen. And I've seen it.
I've never been a Red Bull guy because I've always been afraid.
I hate the flavor.
Of what it does.
I hate the flavor too. It's bad tasting. Yeah.
What do you drink to stimulate yourself?
I'm a soda guy. If I have to, I'll pound it.
But how many do you drink? Remember we established this.
A couple
to get you going.
Yeah.
All right. So what?
Regular soda or diet soda?
Either one. I mean, the caffeine's going to be roughly the same.
It's 24 ounces.
The same amount of caffeine.
How much tea are you drinking?
A cup of tea.
All right,
so probably like
you're
Tazo.
Fine. You're fine.
A cup of Tazo breakfast blend.
Well, breakfast blend is going to be a caffeinated blend and probably a little extra caffeine if it's a breakfast blend, and that's probably 12 ounces. Mike, it's probably
yes, I'm here.
Probably
I'm
12
here.
Ounces.
Do you have any low residue snacks with that tea?
No, I haven't had any snacks this morning.
Oh, that you need fuel. You got to fuel yourself, Mike.
Yeah, the food.
Where's
you need.
Carla?
Just couldn't make it on time. She's going to the charter school that I told you about the websites yesterday.
Oh, she finally got in.
What about your eggs? You need your eggs. Huh?
I make my own eggs every morning.
I'm
just
sorry.
Didn't have. Just couldn't make it on time today. But she's off to the charter school, and she's going to give me a full report. And this is the one that had the great website about what they do academically, where the other website was pickup and drop-off procedures that I talked about yesterday. And by the way, the little guy, you know, you don't tell. With a kid, you can tell if a kid's dragging his ass by just the mood.
Mm. Yeah.
By his mood. And this morning, the greatest exchange. This is why you have to be specific. You have to be literal with a five-year-old. Because if you're not, you will not communicate your message. So there are multiple things now that my 5-year-old boy is doing on his own. Makes his bed, He cleans his room.
Cool.
And he brushes his teeth and washes his hands. And quite often he can, you know, get himself into his little outfit for school. And he's just edible. The age is becoming, every day that I think that it can't get better, it gets better with him because of discussions I have. I picked him up at school yesterday. And now it's onto the subject of hating girls. And it's so hysterical. It's
who
every
led that
day
conversation?
So we're coming out, and his little friend, oh, what's her name? Little Carly, coming out of the school with her dad.
Hi, Carly.
Who, by the way, is, you know, 1,000 years younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
And we're walking out, and he holds the door for us. And as we turn away, and we're going to the car, and I hear the little girl, just adorable little girl's voice. Bye, Michael.
Oh, boy.
And of course, silence. And I said, are you going to say goodbye to Carly? Are you going to say goodbye? And I hear, bye.
Yeah.
But getting back to the little.
Yeah.
He's five. It's fantastic. Yeah. So I work him when we get into the car, and I say, girls are wonderful. No, they're not. I said, yes, they are. They smell wonderful. They look wonderful. And they're better than we are. He says, Dad, no, they're not. You know, I'm just cruising.
Oh,
I'm cruising
so
along.
So great. That's the
I'm
greatest.
Cruising along with him. I'm just having a blast.
That's
and
awesome.
This morning, though, he's, you know, his fatigue manifests itself, and his mind does on this show occasionally, of being in a bit of a mood. So he's in a bit of a mood.
Fit city.
And he says, how does he respond? Really, really nasty to his mom. He says, Michael, go wash your hands and brush your teeth. And he says, no. I said, Michael, come here. When that tone, I said, right now, one, two. And he comes out and he stands there. And I said, do not speak to your mother like that. Now, how do we respond to that question? Let's do it again. And his mom says, Michael, I need you to go brush your teeth and wash your hands. And he says, no, mommy.
Oh!
He didn't know that I was looking for a totally different response. He thought it was all about tone.
Yes. Please don't be
I
vague.
Wasn't specific.
Do not
him.
Be vague with
no,
him.
No, mommy, I'd really rather not do that right now.
If you please.
Right.
Now, question, about the charter school and the friction with Carly. Is he liking school any better? Last we spoke, he was not liking school that much.
Yeah, I think he is. I think we're not getting the, you know, he seems to be the reason he, it's taken a while, though.
Yeah, it was.
It's
I mean, it this, is
you know,
February.
About this school. You know, the school environment, because of this Montessori thing, low lighting, mellow, you know, the kids are all kind of chill and stuff like that. And I think a boy at that age really just wants to go into an environment where you go,
Do they get recess time where they can go out and scream and run into that?
They have, I know, a playground time prior to classes. So if you get there early, he just gets to hang out on the playground. And for the Montessori schools in Chicago last week, that's really problematic.
It's tough.
That's really,
well, you said yourself, you hang out and you chill. They really chill.
You hang out and you chill. You just sit there and
literally.
Go, you know, it's like, by the way, the tongue stuck to the light pole like Flick. With the tongue just going.
Teacher comes in and says, where's Flick?
Flick. Ralphie's look. Still one of the greatest movies. Like, I don't know. I don't know where he is. His tongue stuck to the light pole out there. Yes, sir.
Do you think?
What?
Do you think he's bored?
Bored with school?
Yeah, because some kids are so, like, they get it. They're with it.
They're ahead of the academic curve.
He hangs out with adults all the time, so he's found a way to communicate even at five. At, like,
he doesn't
a high
just
level.
Hang out with adults, Oscar. He is constantly surrounded by people that are 1,000 years old. I've used that 1,000 number quite a bit today, including Dad. You know, and he asks me periodically. I should full disclosure here. I should share with our audience that he asks me periodically, Dad, how old are you?
No, and, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Why would he ask that?
Let me tell you why he would ask that. He would ask that because I believe that the subject may come up occasionally when he sees, you know, when he sees Ernest Hemingway, you know, when his friends see Ernest Hemingway picking him up at school. They wonder about that. But
you're popular among the kids because you do voices and you make them laugh
and
stuff.
Not like his old school. Because it's the chill environment.
Oh.
Like, I go to pick him up. It's a darkened lobby with a kid sitting on the floor. And it's like, I walked in yesterday to pick him up, and the teacher goes, "Michael?" And then he gets up. It's kind of weird, kind of cultish. I have no idea what's really going on in there. I don't engage because I don't like the
dark lobby.
It's like an opiate.
No, it's
den.
The lights are off. They have the
it's like
they
have pod people.
This is a standard thing, I believe.
I've heard a little bit about the Montessori system. I never knew it involved dark lighting.
Well, no, low light. I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me questions.
Didn't pay the power bill.
Yeah.
I'm engaged with different things, but this particular, I feel a level of discomfort with this environment, so I'm not there as often as I was with the other place.
Meanwhile, he stops by and it looks like the shop from from Gremlins, where they picked up.
It's all dark.
Dark.
By the way, there's not a tremendous amount of parental engagement when I go for pickup. Or when I went to the program that they had. There's just not. I don't know why there's not, but there's not. Mm. Maybe it's because they're all 28 years old.
Because a lot of the parents over the past 8 months, a lot of the parents have mysteriously died.
They left the children to
school.
I
don't engage.
That's right.
I don't engage that much.
Like, you got enough on your plate.
You do.
Oscar, I've engaged before this, and I plan to engage again. This particular environment, I just don't feel is in my wheelhouse. Carla is much more of the engage, but she does not engage.
What's her take on the dim lighting and the mysterious atmosphere?
She is more all in than I am. Carla is the definitive advocate for my son's education.
Okay.
She is the one who is engaging in this.
Something
she will bring me in. She will bring me in to say, "Hey, review this." That's where I got that interesting website information. Mm-hmm. By the way, we'll have more of that later in the broadcast. wheel criticism, day two. I think you'll love this. This is the fixes in. This is the big. By the way, I'm going to shoot my wad with all my show prep, like in the opening vignette.
It's great.
I'm so desperate to talk about that. Enough with my kid's school, because I want to get right to this. All right. Because this is really, and then I have nothing for the rest of the show.
No, okay. You have plenty.
Here it is. This is the just to put the whole school thing to bed. She's been very diligent, and I know a website does not make a school.
No,
but she'll have a full report. And I'm not there, obviously, because I'm doing this in this fine city, in this fine environment. Gentlemen, in control. But I'm doing that, and she's going to give me a full report and come back and let me know what happened with the charter school.
Yeah.
I'm very optimistic. But once again, even when you're optimistic, you don't know whether they're going to get in or not.
Right.
And I just, as I said yesterday, to recap, the charter school that she's looking at right now was all about the Cambridge system and academics and STEM, science, technology, math, and eating.
That's what it is. Eating your math.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's science, technology,
engineering,
eclairs,
and moose,
and mathematics, and moose soup. Science, technology, eclairs, and moose soup. The STEM program. So she's into it, and I'm very engaged to find out, because kindergarten is when it really starts next year for him.
Right.
This year, but in the fall, that's when it really starts for him.
Aren't these the critical developmental years? And he's already in school. It's fantastic.
He's doing a good job. And
did you go to preschool?
I did. I went to Gideon Wells Library in Glastonbury, Connecticut, and I have a vague memory of it. That's why I realized that in the coming years is when he's really going to start tracking with me.
Yeah.
I hope he's got strong memories of these years, because, I can't explain it to him, but I'd like to say, hold on to all the memories you can. You never know when that's all you're going to have.
Daddy, all I remember is the dark, scary place.
I'll have these shows. I'll have these shows.
You know, that is true. It's like a daily diary.
My wonderful son, when it's just like, okay, Daddy's picking you up at school.
Daddy's van pulls up.
Daddy's van pulls up.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Michael, what is your first memory? I remember Daddy parking in the parking spot that had a blue square on it.
We always had great parking.
You know, we're always right by the door.
How was the How was the eighth grade kickball?
What, Dad?
How was the eighth grade kickball? Yeah.
Dad, get back in the van. All right, anyway. Now, that's who knows?
They're doing some sort of profile.
I plan to be as fit as possible for as long as possible.
He's a breakout athlete. Yes. And they're like, well, what's your training? Because it started when I was young. These oxygen tanks, you know, they weigh 20 pounds apiece. And I was eight. And I was carrying two at a time.
And it was all about routine. Always had to lock the wheels, put the lever in gauge, and then up went the lever.
All right, enough with the wheelchair humor. by the way, I am the picture of health. That's why I'm being required to have an EKG before I have a colonoscopy. That's when you know they're worried about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they're thorough, right?
Sure.
They're overly thorough.
Literally.
But it does, you know, there's a reason why anything you get done, they want an AKG.
You know, it never hurts to be careful.
I'm 40. I'm up for one, right? This is the first year?
They do it to check your ticker. Yeah. That's what they do. And it's because FAT, fat.
Right.
Okay. By the way, Rob doesn't mention that he has to get an EKG before he gets his driver's license renewed.
Yeah, before every show.
You're going to have to come in for a brief EKG.
You know, the EKG at the DMV is the worst.
I know. The thing about these procedures is it's an anesthesiologist, because they're going to put you under before they put the thing in your pooper. And then, it's what it is.
That's where
the hose goes. Yeah. So you use that sound. I said, okay, it's in.
But then it's...
Do you have any colonoscopy music that you can find? Take your time.
Take your
time and find some colonoscopy.
I'm Deep Impact.
Okay, let's see what I can
do. Let's see if I can find some particular sound effects that... all right, here we go.
Oh, no.
No, that's not it. I'm sorry. That's not what I want. Here we go. This is the sound of the tube going in.
Ah!
How about this?
What's it? No, that's cheap. Come on. Work harder. Come on now. Come on. Okay. Show's on now. You can work hard.
Okay.
Very good. This is it. Anyway. All right, can we be done with colonoscopy?
If we have to,
get on colonoscopy.
Yo, about the procedure. Have you
brought it up.
No, this is. I think I at 40, I have to go. It would be my first one this year.
What is this?
This is the Doors.
Colonoscopy music?
Yeah, back door man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Stop
all right,
that.
Turn it off.
That's
I can't
horrible.
Concentrate.
Come
I can't
on,
hear
Mike.
Myself
what's the matter there. With you?
I can't. I'm trying. You know what? We have to start the show.
We really
when
should.
We come back, I will bring you my nightly criticism of my boring life Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. By the way, big Disney Hawaii trips this week.
Hey! I suck.
We'll be right back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I got a telegram from headquarters today.
Headquarters? What is it?
Well, it's a big building where generals meet, but that's not important right now. They've cleared you of any blame for what happened on that raid. Isn't that good news?
Is it? Because of my mistake, six men didn't return from that raid.
Seven, Lieutenant Zip died this morning. But Dr. Sandler says she'll be out in a week. Isn't that wonderful?
Wish I could say the same for George Zip.
Be patient, Ted. Nobody expects you to get over this immediately. I've found a wonderful apartment for us. Has a brick fireplace and a cute little bedroom with mirrors on the ceiling and...
Red leader, I'm going down!
Captain Jolene. He thinks he's a pilot, still fighting the war.
I found the tunnel, Johnson! It's this way! $25 for a cigarette is too much!
Oh.
What's his problem?
It's Lieutenant Hurwitz. Severe shell shock. Thinks he's Ethel Merman.
You'll be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate. Starting here. Start now. Honey, everything's coming up.
War is hell.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
The Wheel. I talked about the couples. They're having couples week.
Boo!
And I don't know where they're hauling these people in from. Land of dumb.
Land of dumb planet.
Dummy planet.
Show talent.
But
show
it's talent. Just really the land of just dumb. Come on. And so, Rob, you probably know the details of this as far as these puzzles and everything. Okay. But here's the thing I wanted to talk about this week. I've said for a long time that Wheel of Fortune is the cheapest game show. They'll send Pat and Vanna over to Hawaii to do their little video stand-ups that they use every night. But by and large, when you get beyond the bells and the whistles, you throw that 36 grand prize at people. Compared to, these $1 million prizes that these game shows are giving away, Wheel of Fortune is not in the top tier, in my opinion.
Even if you look at bigger prizes, game shows are still very, very cheap to produce.
Very cheap to produce. And the prize they get, that 36 grand, by the way, I did a statistical survey, one out of every 2 million contestants wins that 36 grand.
Yeah, that's about
usually
right.
Usually it's like, oh, sorry, I'll take it. All right, you've got a choice between person, place, or thing. I'll take place, it's 3,400 letters, and we'll give you R-S-T-L-E.
Yeah.
And
I need three consonants and a vowel.
And it goes, doon. Oh, what a shame, only one letter. And now you pick some up. No, it's just, the game is frustrating because I'd like to see more winning. Now, at the very end, what do they call the very end? Because this is where I've got my real problem.
Showdown.
I think it's not. That's Price is Right.
I think it's just the final puzzle. The big puzzle, whatever it is. Yeah,
the final wheel.
But it's not like they do the regular pace of the game. What happens is, thank you. Pat Sajak spins, and that dollar value is used for every correct letter guess.
Oh, you mean not the big money thing at the end? When they get the ding, 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 we're out of time.
I don't know it either. Why are you trying to explain it? I explained it.
I thought you were talking about the puzzle where they spin the mini wheel. You're talking about going backwards. Okay, I'm with you now.
By the way, the mini wheel, which can have up to like $100,000, never has it. It has $36,000.
Right, that's it.
They win, that's what they're going to get, or they're going to get a car that's worth $8,000.
Right.
That's how it's going to go. That's how it goes. But what they do to get to that level, especially if it's a close game, they have a final spin. But this is not complicated.
Why am I making it more?
It's the the bonus round is when they spin the other wheel. This is the last puzzle.
Right.
And my point is Pat spins the wheel for the dollar value of each letter in the final puzzle.
Right.
Am I making myself clear?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what my thing is, what Pat should do is he should give that final spin a big spin so at least it goes around once. And what he does, he does this half-assed little spin so that it's always $500 or $600.
I was going to say, it seems like it's $550.
Watch him.
Yes.
Tonight,
he knows what he's doing.
Watch Wheel of Fortune, and I know I'm an idiot, but watch Wheel of Fortune and watch him half-handedly spin it like a quarter of the way so he knows it's not going to last. And Carla says,
By the way, Mike.
Yes, Carla.
I remember when Wheel of Fortune would land on $5,000 occasionally.
Yeah.
No. Never happens anymore, and it's because the fix is in.
He knows what he's doing.
Pat Sajak is pleasing his masters by not spinning that to go with too much money.
Pleasing the late Merv Griffin?
Yes, Oscar.
Three rounds, from what I'm reading here on Wikipedia.
Why don't we read, by the way, if you're dumb enough to go in, and we're doing a radio show, so we get a free pass, but if you're dumb enough to Google the rules of Wheel of Fortune, I feel for you.
Well, there's someone that's dumber, the person that actually went to Wikipedia and wrote them down.
Yes, this is true. Let's hear what the rules are.
Okay, so you've got the first round, the second round, the third round. The final round always is played in at least part of a speed-up format.
Aha!
So the speed-up format in which the host spins the wheel, each contestant in that round is worth the value of the red contestant arrow plus 1,000. Is that what you're talking about for vowels?
Yes.
Right. So if he gets $500, they add 1,000 to it, and it's $1,500.
Bingo.
But it could be as much as like $5,000, right. And it never is.
Never is.
And it never is because Pat, see, they pretend they're being generous. They're not.
No, they're not, actually, Pat, they're keeping the upfront money down by giving
that's
the $500.
Right. Yes, of course.
Got
that's
it,
right.
Got it.
And they,
got
I
it.
Think they give somebody $1,000 or $2,000. I always feel sorry for those people.
Yeah.
You know, that are out there going, Rocky Road, didn't get one puzzle.
Yeah, most of those people lose the money before they get home. But not like gambling, they actually misplace it.
Yeah, that's not a theory. That's a fact, the way Pat does that with the wheel. What is a theory, because I want to be fair to Mr. Sajak, is he seems to get an extra spring in his step when there's a hot hottie contestant.
Ah.
And he seems to just like, well, let's go. So where are you from? These are all formulas. These are algorithms and formulas I consider. I'm going to do it. I've got this.
Yeah.
I use it to time the show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to time.
You're going
to
log?
If he gets a turbo hottie, I'm going to time the amount of time he spends, personal time, finding out about their life. And I guarantee it's just like, if you've got a hottie, if you got somebody that looks like Kate Beckinsale,
right?
He'll say, so that's fantastic. Well, listen, it's great to have you here. And he'll make one of it. Oh, by the way, another theory on Wheel of Fortune, yeah. Since I'm obsessing on it this week. Pat Sajak, conjurer. Do you think he has his little snarky lines written for him? Do you think he's that disengaged?
Wasn't there a rumor that he gets off the plane, goes straight to the set, knocks out all these shows, and then gets on a plane, comes right back to Annapolis, and he's done?
Yes. He knocks them all out. There was a contestant on the couples game last night. I'm so pathetic. By the way, I know I'm going to take heat. Yeah, hey, Mike, you want to talk about Wheel of Fortune again? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
It's
Thank
top
you very
of
much.
Mind.
So... It's what I do. There's a contestant that says, hey, Pat, well, you got an interesting story. You've got an interesting story about how you got married. Yeah, I proposed on Splash Mountain. Okay. And then Pat came back and said, well, I got engaged on Mr. Toadstool's, whatever the Disney ride is.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Thank you for like. Sometimes I really like that brain of yours that you had that.
How
in your
do you
brain.
Know that?
That's right.
I got engaged on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Ha 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 ha, Pat.
I think that he probably.
I wonder if that's written for him.
I think what happens is they probably say, "All right, contestant Yellow is going to tell a story about his engagement," and
they say,
"And if you want, here's something you could say." It's probably handled.
And he uses them 80% of the time.
It's probably handled the way they handle contestants on the celebrities on Squares. They're
on
given,
Hollywood Squares.
They're
don't
given,
say Squares like you're one of the celebrities. Say Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares.
Like people, so the audience will know what you're talking about.
Where they're given the answer, the funny answer, and they have the option
but
of using it.
I was on Squares.
They're given the option of using it.
He would, that would be his fantasy. If you got into that brain and you know what he blew the candles out wishing for, he would love to be the center square.
I don't know. You know what? I might rather host that.
Is that still going? Is that, or is
no,
that
I
done?
They tried to reboot it. They tried.
A lot of
Why
times.
Why did it fail? It was the only funny game show.
I would watch
the only
it on
truly
sick days
funny
when
game
I was
show.
Looking.
My theory is that it requires too many celebrities. You need 9 people to book on it.
And we don't have them anymore.
We don't.
Not even the B-listers.
Yeah, if you watch the once a week match game, I don't know 3 of them. And there's 6 people. And I don't know 3 of them? You know, that's horrible.
Like, Wheel of Fortune is so huge.
Talk about
mass appeal.
Is it?
How huge is it?
If you just Google Wheel of Fortune hot contestants, there's pages dedicated to this.
I read on Wikipedia the reason they're doing Couples Week this week is that Pat is looking for a threesome.
He's got some white rocks in front of his house.
He does. A key party.
Painted.
That's right.
I really think that...
Stop by Annapolis much?
Hollywood Squares...
Ooh.
Hollywood Squares would be... It was the fun... I think it might have been the funniest.
The greatest. Yeah, because it allowed the celebrities to cater to their strengths. And also, you know, there was the element of... The element of the excitement of actual questions and then funny answers, too. You know who was great on it was Bruce Valanche. He was a great contestant.
Well, he wrote for those.
Yes,
right?
He did.
Pride, anger, covetousness. I can never say that. Lust, gluttony.
Oh,
and-
by the way, let me start it again because this is Paul Lynn.
And that's Peter Marshall.
For those of
so
you,
it's old.
You might not remember, but Paul Lynn had the funny lines. Let's see if there's any chance that these lines.
Her first.
Let's see if any of these lines hold up. All right.
All right.
This is from like the 1970s, Rob.
Right, yeah, early 70s, probably.
All right. Hold on a second. Let me see. I'm going to go back. All right, this is Paul Lind.
Yes, sir.
I'll take Paul Lind again.
During the 18th century, it was common for a bride to sell something at her wedding reception to help pay for the cost of the wedding. What did she sell?
Her firstborn.
Okay. Sorry. Reasonable.
I laugh at those. I laugh at Paul Lind. I laugh at him. I still
there
think
there is now a travel agency
listen
that specializes
recording.
In nude cruises to Europe.
I bet I know how they picked the captain.
I'm sorry, that holds up. He was an effeminate man who was in the center square.
Mike.
That's how they picked the captain.
Say, still, yes. Was he still a bachelor at that point?
Who knows? Rob, come on. You know
so
the answer to that.
If you go into Reddit and you write Wheel of Fortune conspiracy, or even if you Google it, you'll find articles that are dedicated to debunking this conspiracy, which I always say, if there's so much information out there saying it's not rigged, it's not fake, it's probably rigged. Listen to this. The wheel is not rigged. Over the years, there's been conspiracy theories that host Pat Sajak has a foot brake on which he will stop the wheel where he walks.
No, that's
a foot brake.
Nods like a 1920s roulette wheel.
This you want another Paul Lind line?
I do.
Likely you are to take a drink now and then.
Is that why Catherine Kuhlman slurs her words?
Okay, that's too dated. It's too dated.
This theory came about after viewers noticed that during the show's final spin, where Sajak himself spins the wheel,
that's right.
The wheel never lands on bankrupt or lose a turn. Right. Well, folks, sorry.
Or on $5,000.
Or $5,000.
However, he brings up a very valid point.
Well, folks.
That it never lands on any of the bad things either because it would slow the game
down.
Sorry
to burst your bubble. Absolutely. As neat as it would be to find out that it would have been a massive conspiracy with Sajak going over the decades, it's just not true. The truth is the wheel does land on bankrupt and does land on lose a turn during the final spin. Editors simply edit that out for timing purposes.
Okay.
Oh. What?
Yeah, so that's why they can say portions not affecting the outcome of the game have been edited prior to broadcast.
Oh, wait. I have the same article, though, and it says underneath that, P.S. Mike O'Mara, you are a pathetic loser.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The best of O'Mara.
I am fascinated sometimes by simple things like Wheel of Fortune.
And also, that it's always bothered me, especially at that final puzzle. They know exactly the letters that are going to be given to them, and they can guess the letters that the people are going to pick. And in that element, the solution is 85% fixed. If you put something like
Z. The point you're making, this is the final thing we see.
Right.
Where they get a chance to win the big money.
Exactly.
What the point is they pick puzzles and you say the fix is in based on the degree of difficulty.
Yeah, you put a puzzle up that has an X or a Z or a J or some uncommon letter that's key to the solution,
right?
You're not going to get it because you're not going to see those letters. So although it is on the surface absolutely random, it's not. And it's always in the favor of the house.
L? Yes, there is an L. Yes, siree. Mm-hmm. I'd like to buy a vowel. I. Yes, there is an I. All right. C. Yes, there is one C. One C. M. Well, how about that? You've got another. There is an M. I'd like to buy an E. Yes, there is one an E. Is it lick me?
Ah!
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And that category would be, what are you doing?
Dealer's choice. And Mike, you decide. I have eight facts from Wheel of Fortune you may want to know. I can ask you if you want to know them now. I can send them to you in an email. You can decide for tomorrow's show. I don't know if you want
to. For tomorrow's Wheel of Fortune segment?
Yes.
Tomorrow's Wheel of Fortune on the most pathetic show in America. Give me one pertinent. We will button this up today.
I'll give you the titles, and you tell me which one you want. All right.
All right. Okay. Of the facts.
Of the facts.
The fun facts.
I can give you more detail.
Oh, this is all fun fact day on Wheel of Fortune.
No, he's gonna. That's a perfect way to end this segment.
Okay.
He will give me the choice. How many facts do you have?
Well, there are eight left because I gave you the one about the football.
Give me the eight. Give me the eight, and I will pick the one that I want to hear.
Okay. Do you want to hear more about the wheel looks bigger on TV? Or no. Do you want to hear more about how the host used to get drunk before taping of the show in the early
days? Heard that one, knew that one okay. already. That they used to like
you
that.
Don't care about Van and the Guinness Book of World Records, I imagine.
No.
The Wheel and Jeopardy host switched places once. I'm sure you guys have talked about that.
Remember that.
Okay.
Pat and Vanna only work 4 days each month. They give you more detail about their schedule.
Wow.
There's Could I hear their schedule? Yeah. I think people, Rob, am I right? People might be interested in that. All right. What is their grueling work schedule? And by the way, and he chooses to live in Maryland.
Different coasts, yes.
He's an only, right?
The duo usually tape 5 or 6 episodes in a row, typically only working 1 day per week. Vanna still shows up early to get her hair and makeup done, and Sajak doesn't really worry about his job that much. But they work 4 days each month.
Vanna also sometimes shows up because she forgets.
So, hold on. So they work 4 days each month. Does that mean if they tape one show a week...
They work 1 day a week.
5 to 6 shows in that day.
And they burn out a week of shows in 1 day. So they only have to work 1 day a week. Yeah, and then they stack them. Especially if they're doing 6.
But if they stack them, does that mean he flies into L.A. once a week?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Probably private.
Yeah.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Well, I know Rob and I are thinking the same thing.
I'm out.
Why wouldn't you do like all the shows in 1 week and then...
Yeah,
you know,
do the Fred McMurray thing. Do your entire season in a week and a half.
Right.
And then
you're
done.
He cheats. Yeah. Lottery cheats people with the wheel. That's
and
why
also,
he does that.
Probably every fifth or sixth show, he's going to be a super dick because he's tired.
Right.
Can I give you just my personal favorite that I didn't
yes,
know
one
existed?
Last one, yes.
There's a dummy board to help contestants. And you may wonder, what's a dummy board?
What's a dummy board?
If players need help remembering which letters have been guessed
already. Oh, the used letter board, yeah.
A helpful screen shows them. There's another screen for Pat which tells him how many of each letter are in the puzzle. So he knows before it actually is guessed.
Oh, okay.
Originally, this was a job for an intern who held a finger for each letter. So fingers would be 2 B's if he actually had them.
Yeah. So what this is, when you see somebody... guess a letter that's already been picked. You're dealing with a flatliner.
Yeah, exactly.
You're dealing with somebody that shouldn't be able to feed themselves. All right? I'm sorry.
Because they have a little screen in front of them.
Because they have a little screen and they still screw it up because they're too busy going, look at all the bright lights.
I have heard him say, he goes, oh, he says, got to keep an eye on that used letter board.
And then they look back at him and go, F you, Pat. All right, that's it. No more.
The Best of O'Mara.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? What a great day it is. Fantastic. I hope you're looking forward to a fantastic weekend. Yeah, it's not the weekend. It's actually a day before the weekend. But, boy, we're really excited. Hey, boy, there's nothing like getting that paycheck. We'll be talking about the government furloughed workers. They're not getting one. But anyway, boy, what an wonderful time. We had a guy, Rusty Ford, used to work at WABA. And we used to play a theme song for Rusty because he liked to spend his entire paycheck and then not pay his water bill. So it was really fantastic.
He really did have like the notations on the front door of his apartment, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And the song that it was his unofficial theme song was Just Got Paid by Johnny Kemp. Just got paid. Friday night.
I see what you guys did.
He is the same guy that... we went to the Western Union office in Fairfax, Virginia, and I was riding shotgun in his MG, which was his transportation of choice.
Yes.
Wasn't it an MG? Well,
see, here's the deal: is that as years passed,
it predates you. Yes.
As years passed, I think that I somehow now figure into some of these stories.
How much blow was on the dashboard?
None at that time. Okay. He was waiting till late. I never saw a lot. During this incarnation, I never saw... Well, that's not true. I saw a ton of cocaine. He didn't do it in front of me because he knew I wasn't into it. And so
you were square.
I was very square when it came to the drugs.
Yeah.
Big time. And
but
that squareness was
but
more...
But you still like to partay.
I like to party, but the squareness was even further... demonstrated when they gave me a big fatty joint as we were driving to National Airport because I was a phobic flyer, and our promotions director said, here, smoke this. And I had a paranoid attack of paranoid attacks, which is legendary. But what Rusty said to me as we were driving back from the Western Union office in his little sports car, just out of the blue, I'm riding shotgun. We're 5 minutes from the radio station, and we're going back to the radio station, and he's driving along. He's like, hey, Mike, I effed a cow one time.
That was the guy who asked the cow.
Was it really that out of the blue that it came up?
Yes. Yes.
That's not something you just have in conversation. Bestiality.
He was motivated.
Hey, what's your story on bestiality?
Yeah, there's usually a few.
The way I remembered it just popped up.
Questions. Yeah.
So to speak. And then I thought for a while. It was my initial shock wore off.
Awkward pause over.
Because I think I went, what? What? Are you kidding? I was laughing. And then, and it got back to me. I said, well, how did it happen? And they said, how could you? Yeah, I'm thinking of Cal. And he said, well, I used a stool. But anyway, that's disgusting. I think you can be arrested most of the country for that, but it's a statute of limitations.
Unless the cow, of course, gave consent.
Mike, there's nothing you could have done. He had done it already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't complicit in the crime.
Goodness, man.
I'm glad we're talking about this because I'm padding because I have to talk about something I really don't like to talk about because I know most of the people that listen to this show throughout the country are living in cold weather areas. And winter, the teeth of winter, certainly this weekend, we're going to get a massive snowstorm on the East Coast. And the Midwest is freezing and there's precipitation. And as we get into the middle of January, the precipitation is starting to get crazy and the winter weather is starting to take hold. So when I talk about Florida and I talk about golf in Florida, I'm mindful.
Yeah,
I should say this before I share this with you. I am mindful of just how blessed I am to live in an area where I not only have warmer weather, but I can enjoy my number one hobby, which is golf. I love it. I love it. I really enjoy doing it as often as I can.
Your dream.
That would be overstating it, Oscar. If I was living my dream, if I was living my true dream,
you wouldn't be doing the show.
I'd probably be doing the show now. I probably would be doing the show. And maybe not, but I like doing the show.
Right, how about this?
I like doing this. This, I have to, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I really love it.
Oh,
I love doing
this.
I
never, that. It's great.
I never, now you're getting me on another subject.
Oh, no.
And I shouldn't even do this because, but I'm in some sort, I'm in a confessing mood, okay?
Please.
Oh, the Catholicism. And I'll put it, that's the Catholicism in you.
I'll put it this way. Oh, boy. There have been other times when other people have said what I just said.
Mm.
And I remember just sitting quietly to myself and saying, well, that's not necessarily true.
Ah,
I see.
You know,
enough said. Enough said.
So it might be similar to what Rob experiences now.
Mm.
That's just
no.
Joke. I'm just kidding.
Say,
no, I'm just
how
giving,
dare you?
I'm giving you. I'm giving you. How dare you? Anyway. I make joke.
I understand. I also make joke.
I know. So
Oscar sometimes on the rare occasion make joke.
Sometimes I slip on a joke.
So I am really, I want to stress before I tell you what happened.
Right.
That I am not, it is not lost on me how lucky I am to live where I live.
So
and to
if
have
you
a
won't
job
say,
where I could move to the area and be able to do this with you guys.
You won't say that you are living the dream. Would you say you are blessed?
I'm blessed.
There you
go.
We are.
Can I tell you a little story what my son does every day? He wants, every day when he goes to school, when he leaves for school, he gives me about 10 kisses in my hand, and I give him 10 kisses in his hand.
Right.
And if he has a bad moment at school, he kisses his hand, and that means we're giving each other a kiss.
Oh, that's sweet.
So that's
explains why he's sick all the time.
Thank you. But anyway, God, you monster. But it's but I have to say,
hey,
he make joke.
I slipped on one.
I'm truly lucky to do what I love to do on this show, and then to pursue a hobby that I'm really into, and I love to do it. So you would think that I would be just grateful and buoyantly happy all the time. I'm here to say I have to work on that. And the people that I'm going to be apologizing to, I apologize to them personally. But
already
I
you've done this on a one-on-one basis.
I did this, yeah. It was I embarrassed myself yesterday because when I'm out there in the pursuit of this hobby,
known as golf that I really don't talk about because I'm mindful of how blessed I am and that right. everybody else says they want to hear me talk about golf.
It's also there's only a small number of our audience that gets to even pursue the sport.
And the thing about it is, by the way, when I talk about this, I'm mindful of those people in the audience that really get mad at me right. because they're like, oh, I just heard Mike bitch about what poor guy. I know that. Bring it on. I'll take it. You can lay
others
that on me.
Others celebrate.
I understand
your
that.
Flexibility.
But getting away from. But so I'm paranoid about that a little bit, and I have to tell you that I'm aware of it. All right. It's great. And so I should. But with the pursuit of this hobby, I've tried to improve myself because that's the pursuit of this game. Any game, whether you play soccer or you play baseball or you play tennis. Or you play rugby. Yeah. Stop it. Don't talk with sports online.
You're playing for keeps.
Hey, Mike,
you're
trying
to No, even if you're playing, you're not professional, but you're trying to get better at
sure.
it. So you'll have more fun doing it. And it's more fun yeah. the better you play. My skill set with my healthy body, orthopedically, has been in a state of erosion lately. And
all
it's
right.
been frustrating me. It's been I've been very, very frustrated. And the frustration has been bordering on obsession. And I'm sure Carla wouldn't tell me because she knows how much I love it, but it's like, oh, God, golf.
Another
golf,
driver? Golf. It's not going to help you, man.
You can't buy a game, Oscar. But let me just say this. Although I'll probably have to today. So... if you will indulge me
yes.
a moment to just go down the golf yellow
please,
brick road
please, first.
Let the healing begin.
So I have been, when I first came back after I was healthy with the hips and everything, the only other injury I had, a little back tweak. And when I had that back tweak, I was remarkably playing quite well. And I was really not thinking about the game as much as I was thinking about not hurting myself when I was playing the game. And because of that, I focused on that and probably did it. Well, now I'm very healthy and I can take a really big rip at it, but I'm all over the place. And the worst part of my game is the putting, because the putting part of the game doesn't exist with any particular physical issue. It is right between the ears. It's the old inner government, all right? And for anybody that is in our audience that is a golfer, there is something called the yips.
Yep.
And the yips happen when you are so consumed with failure that you freak out when it's time. And that's what I'm in the middle of right now. And it is a horrible, horrible thing. Because no matter how well you play the rest of the hole, when you get to the golf hole, you know you're going to have to putt and you know you suck. And I may be, let me just hear me out, within my group of say 40 guys down here,
yeah,
I may be the worst putter in our group. I am horrible. I'm the worst there is. The worst.
I take it from where we're headed with this that you are right now in a state of yipdom. You have the yips right now.
I have the
yips. You had the yips in the past?
Yes, I have.
How
and
do you
I've
defeat
gotten rid
them?
Of them. I don't know. I have no idea, but I've got them. And so when you're playing a team game with your mates, they know that they really can't rely on you. So you are your value to them as a human being goes into a state of diminishment. So that makes the experience.
Is it has to reinforce it because
it
now you
yes.
know that you have 18 moments of dread.
Them. Yes, you
built
want to
into
them.
Every round, and
you're not going to please.
Right,
them. You're not
right.
going to play. And that right there, what I just told you, and that puts me into a psychological state that I have no business being in this beautiful part of the country where I can do this. It should be gratitude. And what I need to do is put a little, I don't give an S into my world
sure.
down here.
What manifested, what happened that you had to apologize? Was it just your game?
No, let me tell you what happened. So we're playing yesterday.
Beautiful
and
day.
We're late in the round.
What's late?
No, it was a little chilly down here. For down here, it was cold. But
65.
It was still nice enough to, you know, the weather.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry about that.
Glorious.
But it's the truth down here.
Chilly. Your blood is thinned enough to maybe I need an overcoat
or a light jacket.
So anyway,
I'm in DC. I wore a light jacket yesterday as well.
Well, you wear a light jacket when it's 3 degrees.
Well, no, I was wearing a very thick insulated jacket because it was bone chilling up here.
Do you still wear that gray overcoat?
No, actually, this year I'm wearing a bomber jacket, a leather bomber jacket that has a down lining. It's really? Very, very warm.
Mike, yeah. I saw this man on the street. I said, wait a second, that is not Uncle Buck. That's a crew member from the Memphis Belle. Who could that be?
So that's does Rob he look good? Spiewak. Does he look good in his bomber jacket?
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good jacket.
Cool.
Did you bring it in today?
Yeah, Pony, we go get it. It's on the coat rack out there.
I'd love to see it.
Will you have Maddie try it on?
And only if we're willing to lose her.
If Maddie tries it on, it'll sound like this.
Hey, I'm in Rob's bomber jacket. I'm all the way. Hello, help!
It would like her being in a bomber. Out. Yeah.
God, I'm glad I hooked that back up. You know what? Just for those little moments. All right, let's see. This is beautiful.
I was shocked.
Oh, what a beautiful coat that is.
I hope you make it back from your bombing run.
Now, it has a fuzzy collar that's detachable.
Yeah, it is. It is cool.
But it's cold.
And it's slimming. It's a dark brown leather.
Black.
Well, it looks brown in this
slimming.
Light.
No DGH on that one.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, look at that. Let's love it.
Post
is that
picture.
A present? Is that a Christmas
was that a
present?
Gift?
This was
Did
a Saint gift.
Nicholas
it was a gift, and it's Eddie Bauer. And the reason it's so warm.
What is it? 1980.
It does.
That's
have
a nice jacket.
It does have a down lining sewed in.
Wow, that's cool.
Right?
See, beautiful.
He gets on one HBO show. His entire wardrobe changes.
That's a beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
If I may get back to what I was talking about here.
All kinds of pockets. It's great.
Is that ostrich?
Yes, it is, Pony. What a jerk.
Ostrich?
You can take it off now.
Of all the birds.
You want. You can take it off.
You make jokes.
So I'm out there with the guys. And there's one guy in particular that I play golf with who is really, really good. And he's very, very... he's very, how shall I say, chill and stern and not a lot of talking. Mm. He's known for it. It's kind of a joke around that but he's a serious minded guy and he's not a backslapper or anything like that.
He's there for the game.
I've discussed him before, I think, on the show because I'm horrendously intimidated.
Okay.
For what reason? And there's absolutely no reason for me to be intimidated by anybody.
We all have guys
there,
like that.
I should be playing and enjoying myself. However, I bad putt, bad putt, bad putt, bad putt, bad putt. And then we get to a point where I'm really there to help the team, and I'm about 20 feet below the hole. And, and the one guy says to me right before I putt, just need a two putt here, Mike. And I said, no pressure. And it said, well, just wanted to let you know. And he's a nice guy, so he didn't mean anything by it. But it immediately got into my head. And, I can use this effect again, you know, because my head started to go, all you have to do is putt it 20 feet. Get it close enough to just tap it in. That's all you have to do. This is not going to be difficult. This is not going to be difficult. Mike, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I'm really uptight.
Do you have
really
any obstacles uptight. Like a windmill in front of you?
No, nothing. It's not miniature golf. And so I proceed to stand over the putt, and I hit it so hard that it goes off the green.
Oh, no!
That is embarrassing.
At this moment, no, that wasn't nearly as embarrassing as what happened next.
No.
At this moment, the anxiety, the frustration over months of this inability to do this, got into my soul, and if you slow it down, if you slow the moment down, you see me walking across the green, and out of nowhere, I just went, and I take my putter that was in my right hand, and I throw it as hard as I can, and it helicopters into the middle of the lake, and the reaction.
God.
I know. You get to what did you say?
I said the man's almost 60.
I know. I might have said that myself. I'm a grown up. I'm an old grown up.
I can picture your putter silhouetted against the sky,
It was I knew what I was doing. I knew I just had to the steam had to be released, and it just it's like you hear splash.
Oh.
And at that moment, after that moment, I realize I've still got another putt that I have to make right off the green, and I have to walk back to my golf bag and figure out what club I'm going to do. And by the way, the three gentlemen I was playing with.
Oh.
There is not a laugh. There is not a rebuke. There is silence. And I am mortified.
Of course.
And I, at this point in time, I would have satisfied, hey, man, I would have even accepted, hey, that's not cool. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And it would have been over. No, it was silence.
And they let it hang in the air.
It lasted for the rest of the round of golf. The guy that I'm most intimidated by is giving me the most silence. And I was so I actually at one point later in the round, we had a few more holes left, walked up to him and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. And then I apologized to everybody afterwards. And then when I apologized to him, I thought he was really super mad at me, which he still may be.
Right.
But if he was like, no, you do your thing, whatever you do. I don't have a problem with that. Or something like that. He said, you do. So he verbalized it and then shook my hand at the end of the round.
But that's
so
almost it was okay. worse than but totally putting it to bed.
Oh, it just sucked. It just sucked.
Did you and finish the round using, what a club did you use? Did you use a sand wedge?
I used a 3 hybrid, which is kind of a wood. You know,
okay,
used I tapped
that's
it.
That's what I use every night, Mike.
And I actually did make a birdie with the hybrid.
Oh, hey, there you go.
And everybody went, hey, you ought to, now I guess you're glad you threw that club away, one of the guys says. And the other guy's, yeah, good putt with that. And then the other guy is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible.
Let's just rewind.
And I'm blessed, and I live in this area, and I have no business, so I've got to give myself another lecture. I know I've been doing that a little bit.
To us, the layman, that knows nothing about golf, that knows not enough about what you should or should not do. Remember, I am the a-hole that dressed in loudmouth gear to my brother's wedding
bachelor party, right?
Round of golf at one of the I guess the nicest.
You don't
golf.
Play. I don't expect you to do that.
I just like looking good. And if there's a bar cart, that's
awesome. Yeah, that's what loudmouth is, looking good.
Yeah, looking good. Actually,
you bet.
My brother's father-in-law said, man, I thought you were going to be great. You're dressed so nice.
That's right.
Which is an insult, and I'll take it.
Dress for the round you want. That's right.
Can I ask this? What was your loudmouth pattern?
Oh, so I had what was best described as fitted teal plaid pants. And I had a fitted shirt.
FTPP, Mike.
I had a white Nike golf belt. I looked like whatever article of douchebagdom that comes with golf. Whatever, if you're going to satire a guy who plays golf every day he was in his 30s at the time, that's who I looked like.
Well, if you're wearing a white shirt, that's great because you can wear a white shirt with anything.
No. Lots of patterns. Pants and the patterns on the shirt.
And by the way, it's never okay anymore to wear a white belt. Never wear a white belt.
I think the pros might. I don't know.
They can.
So what were you going to ask me about?
My point is this. I know when people are playing a serious round of, hey, we've got money on the line. Get your ass together.
Right.
I've been at a free throw line when someone does what you just said, says, hey, you just got to make one of two. Where I'm like, well, I know that, you a-hole. One of two is already what I was hoping to do. But I've been on that line where you feel like, all right, I don't need that pressure. I don't need the reminder.
Right.
Have you ever seen, this is probably the better question, have you ever seen anyone rage out or rave out like you did?
Yes.
Okay.
In this circle of friends or in a past circle of friends?
Now, when I say circle, this particular group I played with?
Yeah, well, you said that you have your current...
Not this group, but our group, yeah.
Because you said at the beginning that you have like 40 that you run with.
I've seen guys throw clubs in our group.
Okay. What is it?
Into the water, though.
Okay.
Oh, so
this is a first.
Next level.
Not into the water.
Now, this is Pablo.
When you throw the club.
Hello. Let me do this since I've got it hooked up.
Please.
Hello. I'm Mike's putter.
Did you realize, again, thank you for the refresher, that there was a big problem when it was in the air or after you turned around and saw
right
no
after
response?
I turned around. Okay. I didn't think. That's the whole thing. I didn't think. But the reaction was 10 times worse. I felt so horrible after the reaction because it was so, and I said to myself, this is, I go out there and almost do a self-meditation thing where I'm like, don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. I have to triple, quadruple my efforts to go out there and be in the land of I don't give an S. Mm. It's not that I'm not going to care, but I have to pretend I don't care. And that's what and the next like four or five times I go out there this year, I'm going to, I swear to you, that's the prime directive. No matter how bad it gets, I have to act calm and not be as obsessive. That's it. That's the directive right there. Because right now, I have a reputation back in the day. It's been about 20 years since I've done this.
And you used to have a framed club, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think one of the guys might have said, you got to realize, would you want your kid to see you do that?
Oh my God.
Okay. Yep.
You're the guys we talk about online all the time.
Yes.
That take it so seriously because they're going to make it to the senior PGA and
rage
they can't handle it.
Right. Wow. No, I'm not going to the senior PGA. No way. I'm going to the senior Ragea. Rage out, baby. Rage out.
Why the yips? Why is it called the yips of all things?
The yips because you'll stand over putt. And I can describe it to you with sound, all right? Stand over a 4-foot, 3-foot putt, all right? And then you go, 1, 2, 3. Thank you. That's it. I will not discuss golf for another 6 months.
The Best of O'Mara.
So we had the acceptance to college last week.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it over the weekend that she got it?
It was Tuesday she got it. I think it was a Tuesday.
This past Tuesday. Exactly. So this is a big week. And then last night I saw you and your mom and Julia, and you posted something about graphic design, right?
This was great.
She's
last
already
year,
like an accomplished professional, it seems.
Last year, she placed second for her region for artistic design. This year, she placed first.
Woo!
And this is which I thought was so great. No one else from the school showed up. Because I think they're a little bitter that she won. We had our own table.
Why would they be bitter?
Because they just, I guess Julia won again. And so no one showed up. There were four people that could have picked up awards last night. And Julia was the only one who showed up.
Why do you have that look on your face?
Because Pony and I look at each other like, maybe they just have something else to do than to go to this thing.
I think it's sort of, they had a plaque to pick up. I mean, they had awards there. I don't know why they didn't show up.
Not every family is as supportive as you are, is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Oscar, for turning this into something negative. Within 25 seconds.
No, you turned it into something negative because you were saying you thought that they were bitter.
I think they are a little bitter.
You think they're jealous of it? Why do I think Julia probably hasn't said that?
No, Julia's take last night is kind of weird that, I forget, no, one of the names is Perovi, and I think there was another name. I can't remember the names.
These are the people from her school
that did not show up, who got their names read and did not walk and did not come to get their plaque. It was very strange.
Well, wasn't it all the way up in Baltimore?
It was, but up until day of, I know at least two of them had RSVP'd yes, and then all of a sudden they don't show up.
So was she disappointed that her classmates weren't there?
Not really, because she was there.
Was this yesterday?
This was last night.
That is so snarky. You're like, you gave yourself a little head thing. Like,
I'm proud of my kid.
The weather was terrible yesterday. Terrible. There was a monsoon coming down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if there was a foreign last name in that, they're like, you know what? We're not driving. Good job. We'll get the plaque later.
I just didn't know. I was just going to say congratulations, and she did that.
Pone
Bone, please wait.
Doesn't she have beef with the pierogi girl or whatever?
It's Perovi, and yes, they do not get along.
Yeah. See, you got to say that.
Yeah.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
Because they have been sort of neck and neck at number one and number two for the entire run.
So there's a rivalry?
There's a rivalry, yeah, and I think that's probably part of it. But it was the organization is called...
Did she know that she was going to win when she went up there?
Yeah, because it's...
you're issued an invitation. It's basically an evening. It's thrown by an organization called Pajama, which is the Printing and Graphics Association of the Mid-Atlantic. And it was the Excellent in Print Awards. And everyone, you know, sponsors it. And they go up and there's a great cocktail party. And then for 2 hours, you sit around and everybody reads everyone else's name. And that's what goes on. But it's also set up. There's booths from all the big sponsors. And we luckily got read early in the evening, so we didn't have to stay for the entire night.
Anybody see my wife just lean in and grab my wallet out of my pocket?
Can I ask you a question?
She got the wallet.
Why not just get a bank card in her name?
Yeah. Like, she has a bank card in her name.
I'm just saying.
She has my bank card. Same account, Oscar. She has a bank card.
Why is she always grabbing your wallet?
Because she likes to.
Why don't you just give her some freedom? You know, you don't have to.
She has total freedom.
Maybe she likes touching his ass.
Now you're talking.
If you watch the video, she just shook him down.
No, the thing about it is she goes, she grabs it, takes that on my wall, and then I get this. From the door, I get... throws it down on the counter. Just a teeny, tiny bit of respect for doing this broadcast.
So you let her have her own money. You're okay with that?
Yeah, and she can vote?
Hit the alarm for him. Hit the alarm for him, for Christ's sake. I let her have her
she
own money.
She lets her have her own money.
Carla.
She can vote, smoke cigarettes, anything she wants. Drive a car, show her face, take off her burqa, the whole nine yards.
By the way, this would be the classic. This is a classic TMOS segment right now.
It is.
We're busting each other's balls so fast. You need a diagram to keep track of it. No, she doesn't like to carry cash around. So when she needs cash, it's like, here I am. Me, as Rob would tell you, there was a line back on the old Don and Mike show way back when.
Well, you wrote it on a wall.
I'm naked without cash.
You wrote it on the wall outside Graceland and then signed your name.
I'm naked without cash. That's it. So there's a rivalry there.
There is.
And there was a little... So I understand what you wanted to see because you're an angry, bitter man. You wanted to see the other kid... And the disappointment on the kid's face when your daughter walked up to her.
Yeah, and I would have worked her a little bit. But you know what? It was all good when all was said and done.
Aren't these kids like 17?
18.
Yes.
Legal adults. But the thing is that Julia was so proud. And here, just I'll give you something lighthearted and then something funny
that you
will
enjoy. How
many
other kids were supposed to be there that stipped her?
I think it was five. It was either four or five on the team. So
she's
I think
a
four
pariah.
People. Yeah, she is. Yeah. But love.
No, is she really ostracized?
No, she's not ostracized. But I think
I mean, is she really? I don't know.
Loved?
I didn't know about this dynamic.
I think there is a rivalry. I mean, because Mike, only one can be the best, and and I know this because last year, same ceremony, Julia was number two, and she did not like it. She wants to be the best.
So but she went.
She but was she was win. A big enough person she to went. Show. Yes.
So when did you track with, were you sitting at a big round table with nobody there except you, your mom, and Julia?
Exactly. With the sign that says
that's
students.
Sucks. You know what? Hold on. You know, you're making it sound like you're the guilty party here. You're not. That's a suck ass move.
Yeah.
If they got invitations
especially,
and they riz-vipped to this and they didn't go because Julia was going to win, I think that sucks.
As of 5 o'clock, they were expected to be there. They had their name tags on the table and everything. So that was a little that was an
and
odd.
Did she
situation.
Offer? Did you? Did, was this your theory or did she offer like? That's
I think
what she
we sort of we
was.
We bounced back and forth, and I said, "Why do you think this would have happened?" She said, "Well, there might be some jealousy, or maybe you know, they're not into not winning the number one.
Not everybody can win the pajama.
Exactly the pajama
but
awards.
The thing about it but here's the thing does she interact with these kids
has to because there's a lot of team efforts and they work well together but you
they
know
don't
are there
together.
Are there are, among
but last
the five,
night was a solo win
among the five that weren't there is there a little you know is there a clickiness a little bit or
you know what I don't think you would say there's a clickiness because they don't socialize they work together but there's no social aspect
so they were jealous they didn't show up but she was there you
and,
were there with your mom
and we also
and she is accomplished because this is not the first time
no
she
small
has
feat.
Been she has been recognized for her talent in the area of graphic design. By the way, a skill that we have relied on for years in radio
it's
and in broadcast. It's wonderful. It's terrific. A terrific logo
is, you know, is amazing.
Well,
that's
not just logo,
area.
Poster.
I mean, we saw posters, all of it. We saw all of it last night.
Commercial
the technology.
Campaign.
The thing that impressed me most about it, if I can have 5 seconds to
technology.
If I can just be a proud dad. She shows up in her Skills USA red sport jacket that she hates. She looks professional. She looks like she's probably about 25, actually, when she shows up. And she's interacting with all these booths, like, you know, corporate representatives from Canon and from all of these amazing companies. And she's
so they're headhunters there looking for scouting talent.
Gotta get the
and
talent
she
early,
is,
Mike.
You know, swapping business cards and handling herself. And I'm just stepping back and watching her work.
You're going to be so lucky when she starts getting employed.
And it was awesome. Really cool. But the one moment that my mom and I actually
it's
had
gonna
to
be his ticket.
Yeah, it is.
Had to
it should be.
My mom and I actually had to step back because we get up to the booth for it was a printing company that has one of only 4 laser cutting printers in the world.
Whoa.
So if you see like a greeting card that has intricate stuff cut out of it, it's done by one of these 4 companies, and this is a Baltimore-based company. And there
were T-shirts that way,
and they're with holes in them,
right at the nipples.
Can't take that off with one hand.
No.
So
is that a hair? Is that a hair, Dirk?
So all right. Most of the people at this convention either look like a young, happening like 20-something in a suit that's too small, or they look like Michael Hughes, if that means anything to you. You know, sort of a
corporate America.
Yeah, corporate America type guy. Well, this is a corporate America guy who really looks put together. And we're looking at some of these amazing cutout Christmas cards and graduation announcements and really fantastic stuff. And I look and I pick up one of the cards. He's got a little display, and I grab one of his cards, and it's name of his company, his name, and it says they're based in Baltimore, Maryland. And I said, because we're up there at it's one of those sort of like halls where they do wedding receptions and conventions. And I say, this is remarkable work. And I'm really expecting to have like a really sort of level conversation with this guy. And he turns to me and he says, I know, we've got one of only 4 printers in a whole country that cuts paper with a laser.
Yeah.
And I look at my mom and she is like making a super yikes face. Her bottom lip is like, so she backs away, and I said, this Christmas card is great. He said, I know. Look at this. He said, see that snowflake? Hold on.
Hello there.
And he pulls out his iPhone. He puts a video. He says, look at it. That laser's cutting out all them snowflakes all the time. And he said, and there's only 4 of them. He said, hold on. I want to show you something, another Christmas card. And he pulls out one. And
you want to run at this point.
I love it. And he says, I love it.
Look at this. Don't it look like a snow globe? And I said, yeah. And I'm really at this point trying to stifle laughter because my mom is now making eye contact at me from behind him.
Snow globe.
He says, you know, the kind of thing that you shake up and it snows inside. Look, you open it up, it's a Christmas card. But when you close it, it looks like a snow globe. But it's inside just a Christmas scene.
Sounds pretty cool. Sounds like a pretty cool Christmas card.
It was actually amazing work. But at this point, now I'm just talking with him because his accent is intoxicating.
That's what I've always said about the Baltimore accent.
The best of O'Mara.
David, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take. A review and comment on the news is only our Bolivian bloviator can do it. The views and opinions expressed by Oscar Santana do not in any way reflect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or
the right-thinking people of the United States of America. And now, without further ado, Ernie Anderson, Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take. Take.
Oscar, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his wife Mackenzie did not have a prenup, according to sources. That means it's likely they will split their $136 billion fortune right down the middle. Most reputable sources say Jeff and his girlfriend Lauren Sanchez didn't hook up until their respective marriages were over. But the National Enquirer might be trying to paint a different picture. They got hold of some raunchy texts that Jeff sent Lauren.
Can you believe the National Enquirer is still a thing?
Yeah, well, look what they got here.
Yeah.
They got hold of some raunchy tests Jeff sent Lauren, including a picture of his junk. And they claim some of these texts were sent before Jeff and Lauren claimed they started dating. Us Weekly says Lauren's husband was blindsided by their affair. Reach for comment. Bezos told the Inquirer that he, quote, supports journalistic efforts and does not intend to discourage reporting about him. All right, there. So what's your take on that, Oscar?
Two issues here, Mike. There's a term called dream killer that I learned in Scottsdale, Arizona, where you have a beautiful woman. I guess this could actually work for a man as well.
Sure.
That finds a successful man and or vice versa. And whatever dreams they have, that stops becoming their top priority. So that's one.
Okay.
I think this is an issue here. This could be the end of innovation because he has put the P on the pedestal. And that in itself can ruin a person.
Yeah.
And that does not allow you to see beyond the forest. You just can't. You can't see that. You can't see
that. Is that a grooming comment?
No, you just can't get past there.
Okay. Well, the idea of that man and his stature, you know, sending a D pic to you know, that gets discovered. Like, come on.
Last
please.
Night, Seth Meyers said the worst thing about that is that the text under the picture, it said, if you like this, here are some other items you might like.
You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, this weekend, Sarah Thomas will become the first woman to officiate an NFL playoff game. She's on the crew that's working Sunday's divisional game between L.A. and the New England Patriots. That's the Chargers. Of course, Sarah isn't new. The NFL hired her back in 2015. She was the league's first full-time female official, and before that, she was the first woman to officiate a major college football game. For what it's worth, Sarah will have more responsibility than just checking the inflation of Tom Brady's ball.
Now you stop that. Now cut
I'm
that
sorry.
Out.
What are you guys, Barstool Sports?
She is the down judge. I didn't write that. I'm sorry. She's a Mike, edit your copy.
That's
she's the
fine.
Down judge, which is just under the head referee and umpire. Down judges manage the chain, set the line of scrimmage, mark the spot where the play ends, and make line of scrimmage calls like false starts and offsides. Big responsibility.
She also brings snacks for the line crew.
Stop it. God, hit the thing. Hit the thing for yourself.
Why
Jesus
you get
Christ.
It for us? What the hell?
Sarah was just promoted to down judge last season. She previously served as line judge. What's your take on that, Oscar?
Mike, I think we're in a space right now where I appreciate you bringing this up. This should be a non-issue gender-wise. It's not like she's playing the game. She's officiating.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that whether you're a man or a woman, you have to be qualified to do this job.
I agree.
And I mean, the issues as far as if she gets hit on the field, if there's a collision, that would happen regardless of where you are in the league. This happens in college. This happens when you're playing in high school. Mm-hmm. It does not matter. It's great that there's an opportunity here for a woman. I really believe at this point, we celebrate this, but it's not that shocking. So let's say this is the norm. It's 2019. Yep. If this took this long, shame on them. But
right.
Here we are.
And the last thing I wanted to say is no more reviews. Please don't review stuff. Thank you very much. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, if you've held off on seeing Bohemian Rhapsody until you can watch it with a bunch of people you don't know who are belting out the songs at the top of their lungs along with the movie, well, today's your day. A sing-along version of the movie is hitting 750 theaters across the country. Okay, it's your take. Beginning today, the song lyrics will be displayed on the screen karaoke style, and the audience will be allowed to perform during the film. What is your take on that, Oscar?
I think the closest I've ever been to this was when I was invited to a viewing of Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when I was in high school by some theater dorks, and I said,
are you sure it was Little Shop of Horrors or was it the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Oh, that's
show?
What it was. I'm sorry. Yes, that's what it
yeah.
was. That's what
Rocky
it was.
Yeah. Horror Picture
and
Show.
And I said,
right.
No, I like
the
having,
devil's in the details.
I like
Mike.
Having sex with women. I'm not going to do that with you this weekend. And said, no. Now,
when you stayed home, did you actually have sex with a woman?
No,
or?
But I was probably having sex with my girlfriend at the time. So I would say,
what?
You know what I mean.
I don't know.
I actually like doing things on the weekends, not dressing up and throwing stuff at the screen.
I see.
So
he's rolling.
Let yeah. Him
roll.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Let me roll. Now, I said, no, dorks, I'm not going to do that with you, but I would do this. I actually have such, I guess, love and compassion for Robbie, what's his last name? Malik?
Spiewak.
Not Spiewak.
Malik.
Malik, yes.
Robbie Malik.
Yes, because I...
Rami Malik.
Rami, I'm sorry, Rami.
Mike, what are you doing with your mouth?
I'm 59. I have no way of physically doing a Rami Malik impression, but I'm trying to get my upper lip to go over my entire mouth worth of...
I have a
look esteem, like a Dick Tracy.
I have esteem for Rami Malek. I'm all over the place.
Okay,
right. I love him from Mr. Robot, and when he won this Golden Globe, I said, "Damn, like this is a movie I definitely need to see in the theater." So your story just now gave me a reason to go, and Shannon loves singing, so I'm trying to be a better husband. And
you
she,
may go to this.
I would go to this. Because she loves singing and I can't sing.
You sing better. You sing better than you let on. You know that, don't you?
You've heard me sing.
I have heard you sing.
Let's move on. Thank you very much. And finally, Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
Yes. Oscar, Costco just started selling 27-pound buckets of mac and cheese.
I'll be right back.
That is 6 gallons. It's got 180 servings, and it has a shelf life of 20 years. If you want one, it costs $90. So just $2 per serving, or maybe it's $90 per serving if you approach this bucket like Rob Spiewak will. Unfortunately, the last time we checked, it was sold out online.
Oh, no!
Of course it was. Of course it was.
This is perfect on two levels. One is... I want someone in our audience to buy this once it comes back on the market. Two, my wife is now obsessed with the show Baskets. So she calls it Buckets once in a while. And if you haven't seen Baskets, Rob has been screaming about the show to the entire team for some time.
Yeah.
Now, Baskets is set in Costco. It is a character within the actual program.
I would actually say Costco is a character in the show because it is such a big part of it.
Now you got me. Yeah. You got me with that.
So
really.
I could see within the next season of Buckets or Baskets, that the mom, played by Louis Anderson,
Mrs.
buys
Baskets.
A bucket of mac and cheese because she's having family dinner night.
And she'll say, you know, it really is so good. And they keep the prices down.
I got to watch that show with Louis Anderson.
Yes,
all right,
it's the best.
That is Oscar's take, Oscar's ladies and gentlemen. Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.